Podcast, shining a light to the nations.
Well, shalom once again, everyone. I'm Bill Cloud. I want to thank you for joining us today on the program, Returning to Our Roots. Today, we're going to begin a series that we're calling The Weightier Matters of the Torah. We've been, in the past several weeks, talking about the laws of a bondservant and how the instructions of God and the commandments of God play a very vital role in being a bondservant and being a son, because the bondservant wants to do the will of the Father, and we understand that the will of the Father is to keep His instructions, to keep His covenant. And again, I just want to emphasize, we do this not in order to be saved, but because we are saved, to exemplify to the world that we are His. So with that in mind, we felt that it was prudent to discuss what the Messiah refers to as the weightier matters of the Torah, because it's human nature to focus on the physical things, the surface things sometimes, rather than the spiritual substance. In other words, when people are trying to approach the commandments of God, do I do this? How do I do this? A lot of times they'll get focused on just the physical part of it, just the surface part of it, and not really contemplate, maybe in some cases even ignore, the spiritual substance of it. Because going back to the laws of the bondservant, the Creator gave them instructions that pertained if you have a Hebrew servant. And what the physical thing was teaching, well, if you have a Hebrew servant, after 6 years you let him go, etc., etc., and gives all the criteria if he's released, what he takes, what he leaves, etc. And so you can get so focused on that that you ignore the spiritual substance of it. Because all in that teaching, what he was trying to demonstrate to his people is that he's looking for someone, he's looking for a people that, having been set free by him from their bondage, whether that's from Egypt or from sin, he's looking for people who, because they love him, come to him and submit their will to him. That's what he was teaching. And so that's what we mean by the spiritual substance. You can look at the physical thing and get wrapped up in that and ignore the spiritual substance. Now, we also need to say this. When you see the spiritual substance, that doesn't mean you throw away what is physically written. It has to work together. But the weightier matters are the spiritual substance of those things, and we can't ignore those things. Now, so we're going to, as we begin this teaching, we're going to go to Matthew 18, because in Matthew 18, the disciples asked the Messiah a very interesting question. So we begin in verse 1. It says, "At that time, the disciples came to Yeshua saying, 'Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' Then Yeshua called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offenses come." Now, the reason we're reading this in this teaching about the weightier matters of the Torah is the disciples seem to be concerned about who is going to be greater. Who's going to be the least? Who's going to be the greatest? Who's going to get to rule over this one? And who's going to get to rule over that one? They're jockeying, apparently anyway, jockeying for position. And there's passages later on that kind of substantiate this as well. But let's look at it in our day and time. There are people who want to be noticed in the kingdom. There are people who want to be considered leaders in the kingdom. There are people who jockey for position in the kingdom. And they put their knowledge out there for all to see, and their understanding and their teaching out there for all to see. The Messiah says that those people are not necessarily the greatest in the kingdom. The greatest in the kingdom are those who have the heart of a child, who come to the Father willingly with a heart that simply loves and simply wants to please Him. Now, those people that I just described to you, those who have a lot of gifts and talents, who are notable, who are, you know, people see them all the time, that doesn't mean they aren't some of the greatest in the kingdom. But what we're getting at is this. You can't go by what you see on the surface, the physical part of it. We have to see that the spiritual substance is the most important thing here. And so if those people that I just described do not come as little children, then they are not considered the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. But those who humble themselves and have the heart of a child, those who want to please the Father, those are the ones who are considered by the Messiah to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, because those are the ones who exemplify the weightier matters of the Torah. Little children, you see, don't often understand technical issues. They don't understand all the intricacies of life and the minutiae of just day-to-day living and how to make a living. And when it comes to spiritual matters, little children most likely aren't able to explain, you know, great, deep concepts that we find in the Scripture. But little children can tell you what's true. And little children can manifest this love and this willingness to want to please their Father. And so the Messiah is making it very clear that that is what the Father is looking for. You know, where people are trying to walk in the Torah and keep the commandments, and sometimes they get frustrated. I don't know what to do, and have I got this just right? We need to keep this in mind. The Father is looking for those who aren't experts in the technical side of it necessarily, but those who are experts in having a loving and willing heart to do what the Father says, even if sometimes, on the technical side, we make a mistake. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Years ago, when my older sons were little boys, one morning they came and informed my wife and I that they wanted to serve us breakfast in bed. And so here we are, we're just waiting in bed, and there's all this clanging and clattering going on out in the kitchen. So finally they bring us a tray, and it's got juice and milk and cereal and burnt toast and things like that. And with these big smiles on their face, they gave us breakfast in bed. And so we had our burnt toast and drank our milk and ate our cereal. And then we went out into the kitchen, and it was a disaster area. It was a huge mess. In fact, there was a knife in a milk jug. So that kind of gives you an idea of what the kitchen looked like. But now, with all this mess staring me at the face, I've got to make a decision. Am I going to turn to those little kids who just a few minutes before, with big smiles on their face, brought my wife and I breakfast in bed? Am I going to berate them? And am I going to chastise them because of the mess they've made in doing this? Or am I going to receive their gift because I understand what was in their heart? They did it technically wrong, but their heart was to please us. So what I'm getting at is this. Many times we may err on the technical side, but what the Father deems most important is what's in the heart. What is your motivation? Were you doing this because you wanted to please Him? And those are the most important things. Now, going back to my little example, I thank them very much for the breakfast in bed. And then I said, now, next time, let's don't stick a knife in the milk jug. You know, next time, I will help you understand how to do this a little better so that you can improve. In other words, I didn't want them to think that they could continue to stick a knife in the milk jug. I wanted them to learn that there's a better way to do this and improve, but I was not going to crush their heart. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say here. The Creator, I believe, this is the way He approaches it. The first thing He wants is our heart. And when we approach Him as a little child, with a willing and loving heart, that's what He wants most important, what He deems to be most important, because He can work with that. And then from there, He will teach us more of those technical issues, those things that we need to mature in and develop our understanding of His Word so that we can do these things correctly. But the heart must be there first. And so if you want to be considered great in the kingdom of heaven, it's not going to be about what you know. It's going to be about who you know. It's going to be about, do you have the heart of a child to approach Him with a heart that says, I want to please You. And do you have a heart as a little child that will receive instruction from a loving father and say, next time, do it this way. Improve, mature, understand more, but keep that heart in place. So now, there are those who learn, and then they quickly forget what it is to be as a little child. In fact, in Matthew 19, let's read this in verse 13, it says, "Then little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Yeshua said, 'Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven.'" So there is the substance of the kingdom of heaven, to come as a little child, to come with a willing and loving heart. And unless we have the attitude of a child, unless we are wanting to please the Father more than anything else, then we are not going to succeed as leaders in the kingdom of heaven. Because the Messiah teaches us, if you're going to be a leader, then you must first be a servant. In fact, let's read from Matthew chapter 20. Beginning at verse 17, it says this, "Now Yeshua, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, 'Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. And the third day he will rise again.' Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, 'What do you wish?' And she said to him, 'Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left, in your kingdom.' But Yeshua answered and said, 'You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?' And they said to him, 'We are able.' And so he said to them, 'You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father.' And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Yeshua called them to himself and he said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who were great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many.'" And so, in here we see Messiah's teaching us a lot of things. And the first thing I want us to note is how among the disciples who had asked earlier, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? There are those that want to sit on his right and those that want to be sitting on his left. They want to be distinguished in the kingdom. And then when the other 10 hear about that, well, they're mad at these guys because there's all this jockeying for the position. Because that's what people do. That's the tendency. But the Messiah takes the Messiah and he says, look, that's what the Gentiles do. That's what the nations do. That's what the pagans do. And that's not how we're supposed to be. That's not how you're supposed to act. Those of the nations, they want to be considered the authority and they want to lord over you. They want to rule over you. They want to be served by you. But God's people are not to do this. God's people are not to use their authority to subject people into servitude. They're not to expect people to be in servitude to them. If you want to be a leader, if you want to be considered great in the kingdom, then you have to come as a little child and you have to come as a servant. You have to come as someone who's willing to serve. You have to come to someone who's willing to submit. And unless you're willing to do that, you're not going to be a successful leader in the kingdom of heaven. You're not going to be great in the kingdom of heaven. The Messiah makes it very clear, you know, and I'm kind of paraphrasing here, reading between the lines. Hey, look, I'm the Son of God. You know, I don't have to be here, but I'm doing the Father's will, and that's why I'm here. And I didn't come for you to serve me. I came to serve you, and you need to learn that lesson. I mean, what did he do at the Passover Seder? They're reclining around, about to observe the Passover, and he took a towel and a basin. What did he do? He washed their feet. Why? To demonstrate that if you want to be a leader, you have to first be a servant. You know, hearkening back to the bondservant teaching, that factors into what we're talking about right now. That bondservant, the one who's willing to submit his will to that of the Father's, is someone who's willing to serve. And because he's willing to serve, he's been transformed into a son. And the son, the daughters of God, will be the ones considered to be the great in the kingdom of heaven. So if you want to be great in the kingdom, you have to be willing to be humble. You have to be willing to be abased. You have to be willing to prefer your brothers and sisters. And don't follow the pattern of the heathen. And so once again, those with notable position are not necessarily the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. But those who come as little children, who have a heart to serve. In Matthew chapter 23, look at what the Messiah says in verse 11 and 12. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. And so that seems to say to me that those who are of a mind to use their position in order to bring people into servitude to them and to create an environment where they're making people think that they are there to serve them, that person's going to be humbled. But the person who will humble himself and serve those that are working with him, that person is going to be esteemed. Now, people may be able to present themselves as God-fearing, as righteous, but if they do not come as a child, if they do not come with a willing and serving heart, that person is going to be humbled. Those people will be humbled. But those people who are operating in this manner in the kingdom of heaven aren't going to be the greatest. In fact, they're going to be least in the kingdom of heaven. Which brings us to this point. There is rank in the kingdom, and the Messiah addresses this in Matthew chapter 5, beginning verse 17, he says this, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Okay, again, there's several things here that we need to kind of expound upon. Number one, the Messiah says, I didn't come to destroy the law. I didn't come to destroy the Torah. I came to make it full of meaning. And in previous programs, we've talked about what that means to make it full. I'm not going to expound on it too much here, except to say, he's not saying that in fulfilling it, he does away with it. Because he just told us he's not doing away with it. He comes to make it full of meaning. He comes to help us to understand not just the physical part of it, but the substance of it. To have our ears opened, if you will. But he's not throwing it away. He's not saying, I'm doing this so you don't have to. Because he clearly says, not one jot, not one tittle, which is to say, not even the most seemingly insignificant points in all the Torah of the prophets is going to pass away until all is fulfilled. And the fact that you're watching this program and the kingdom is not yet here in the sense that the Messiah is not ruling and reigning from Jerusalem yet tells me that not all has been fulfilled. And if all has not been fulfilled, then the law has not passed away. It's still in effect. And so he says, that's not what I came to do. And he even goes on and he says this, look, if you teach that you don't have to keep God's instructions, if you don't keep his instructions, then you will be considered least in the kingdom of heaven. If you keep his instructions and teach others likewise, then you'll be considered great in the kingdom of heaven. Now notice two things here. Just because someone is not keeping the least of these commandments doesn't mean they're not in the kingdom. It just means, according to the Messiah, they may be considered least in the kingdom. But I want to go back to this whole idea of the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, taking everything that we've talked about into consideration. The one who does these things and he teaches others likewise is going to be considered great in the kingdom of heaven. But to be great in the kingdom of heaven is to come as a little child. And so perhaps this is what he's really getting at. He says something, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. That says to me, unless you can get beyond just the physical surface thing, unless your righteousness exceeds that, in other words, if you fail to see the spiritual substance of these things, unless your heart is in the right place and you come as a little child willing to serve the Creator, the Master, with all of your heart, your soul, and strength, then you're not going to make it into the kingdom. So all we're trying to say here is this. The Messiah makes it very clear that there is rank in the kingdom. And rank in the kingdom is not going to be based on how much you know. It's not going to be based on if you can get into all the minutiae and all the intricacies of all these things, and you can explain these things very scholarly and very learnedly. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're greater in the kingdom of heaven. Because a lot of people can get bogged down in that, and a lot of people do. And in some of those Pharisees and scribes that he was referring to, that they did exactly that. But those were the very people who wouldn't come to him because they were failing to see the substance here, the weightier matter, personified in the Messiah himself. And because they couldn't see that or wouldn't see that, their righteousness fell short. And so all of this is to say the Creator is looking for people. The Messiah is asking people to follow him, not based on how much they know and not based on how high in the kingdom they want to exalt themselves. He's calling people forth that will abase themselves and will humble themselves and will follow him and humble themselves before him as a servant, and who would be willing, like him, to serve others, to come as a child. And the child doesn't have everything figured out in the technical side of things. The child, very simply, very plainly, wants to please his father, wants to do something that makes him happy because he loves his father. That's what the Creator is looking for. So, Paul writes this in Romans 8:14. And this is may seem a little out of place, but I'll share with you why I wanted to read this. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." If we're going to be led by the Spirit of God, and we take everything that the Messiah says into consideration, the Spirit of God is going to lead us to walk in humility. The Spirit of God is going to lead us to walk in servitude. The Spirit of God is going to lead us to walk with a heart that says to the Creator, "Not my will, but your will be done." You see, we're not to be guided by anything that's been prescribed by men per se, because men take God's word and they add to it and they take away from it, and they come up with a code of conduct and they come up with bylaws and they come up with this, that, and the other, and then it becomes what you know, and you're not really considered righteous or holy or distinguished unless you know this and you're acting a certain way. But that transforms into religion as far as I'm concerned. Now, what the Creator is looking for are those who aren't going to be led necessarily by men's code of a prescription of men and how to live this life, but you're going to live by God's code. The Spirit of God is going to lead us to walk according to God's perfect will. And that means that we're going to have to humble ourselves and walk as children and to serve Him and to be willing to serve. Those are the people who will be exalted. Those are the people who will be considered great in the kingdom of heaven, because those are the people who understand the weightier matters of the Torah. Those are the people who get it. Those are the people who are embracing the substance of it. It's not to say that we discard the physical part of it, but we understand the substance of it. And because we understand the substance of it, we do those physical things, not to be noticed by men, but because we want to show our Father in heaven that we love Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. And if we have the heart of a servant, we will prefer our neighbor over ourselves. Ladies and gentlemen, hope you're enjoying this. Hope you're gleaning something from this. And I want you to be sure to tune in with us next week as we continue this teaching on the weightier matters of the Torah. Until then, I'm Bill Cloud. Thanks for joining us. Shalom.
Like what you're hearing? Become a Bill Cloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BillCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.